Over the summer, we're exploring the theme of waiting. But before we look at the Bible today, we're going to watch a video of what must have been the longest game of Jenga ever played. We're not going to watch the whole thing because it went on for 28 hours. The game was meant to showcase the abilities of the cat machine. By the end, there were 13 layers of blocks and it was 20 feet high. Hope you enjoy it. I don't know about you, but if I was going to invest that much time into a game, I'd want to win at the end. To spend so much time on something and then have it end in disappointment is, well, disappointing. Years ago, when I opened a pregnancy crisis centre at our previous church, I sensed a very definite call from God to set it up. We trained for months. We prayed for months. We wrote procedures and operation manuals, and we networked with health professionals. We had leaflets on every subject we anticipated talking to clients about, and I learned all about this. It seemed that for a year and a half, it was all I was living and breathing for, and then we opened. And the phone didn't ring. The doors opened and no one came. In fact, it turned out to be a very small ministry which ran for a while, but it never became what we anticipated it would be. Disappointment happens. We've all felt it. After investing a ton of time and other resources too, things just don't go the way we hoped they'd go. And when those surprises hit us, we're left waiting and we often wonder, why did this happen like this? How can I fix it? Is there anybody else that might help me? Or maybe even, God, where are you? Today, we're going to think about how we survive some of these times of disappointment, those times when we're waiting on God for Him to turn things around. And we're going to look at one part of the Apostle Paul's story, and this is going to help us. Paul spent his whole life following God. As a young Jewish man, he was a high-achieving religious student of his time. But his story took a significant turn in the early days of Christianity when the message of Jesus was starting to spread. As a leader in the Jewish faith, Paul didn't follow the teaching of Jesus. In fact, he believed that people who followed Jesus were God's enemy. And this caused him to defend his faith by imprisoning and even killing Christians. But then something incredible happened in his life. He encountered God on the road to Damascus and he gave his life to Jesus. He became a Christian. And at that point, he couldn't possibly have predicted what God had in store for him, because he eventually became one of the greatest Christian influencers of all time. He wrote much of the New Testament, he was a significant church leader, and he brought the message of Jesus to new parts of the world. But through this work that he did for God, he was regularly waitlisted, including spending about 5 years in prison for being a Christian. Surely he must have wondered more than once, how was God going to keep on using him if he kept on being locked up or put under house arrest? I wonder if he ever said, God, why aren't you stopping this? On one occasion, when Paul ended up imprisoned, it happened as he was travelling to an area called Macedonia with his friend Silas. And Rosie's going to tell us the story that starts in Acts 16.
They travelled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit did not let them preach the message in the province of Asia. When they reached the border of Mysia, they tried to go into the province of Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they travelled right on through Mysia and went on to Troas. That night Paul had a vision in which he saw a Macedonian standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as Paul had this vision, we got ready to leave for Macedonia because we decided that God had called us to preach the good news to the people there. We left by ship from Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace and the next day to Neapolis. From there, we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had an evil spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you how you can be saved." She did this for many days, until Paul became so upset that he turned round and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to come out of her." The spirit went out of her that very moment. When her owners realized that their chance of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the authorities in the public square. They brought them before the Roman officials and said, "These men are Jews and they are causing trouble in our city. They are teaching customs that are against our law. We are Roman citizens and we cannot accept these customs or practice them." And the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Then the officials tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be whipped. After a severe beating, they were thrown into jail and the jailer was ordered to lock them up tight. Upon receiving this order, the jailer threw them into the inner cell and fastened their feet between heavy blocks of wood.
After a long journey where God finally leads Paul and Silas to Macedonia, they face a major crisis. They're beaten and they're thrown into jail for preaching the message of Jesus. The chapter tells us how God so clearly led Paul and his friends to Macedonia to share the gospel. So if God led them there, why did they end up in prison? Did they make a mistake by engaging with that fortune-telling slave? Or did God make a mistake by sending them there? Or did God put them in prison on purpose? Whilst we don't know why God allowed them to be thrown into the prison that they ended up in, the Bible makes it clear that God didn't want them to stay there. Rosie's going to continue the story.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake which shook the prison to its foundations. At once, all the doors opened and the chains fell off all the prisoners. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he thought that the prisoners had escaped. So he pulled out his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul shouted at the top of his voice, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for a light, rushed in, and fell trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Then he led them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your family." Then they preached the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that very hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and he and all the family were baptized at once. Then he took Paul and Silas into his house and gave them some food to eat. He and his family were filled with joy because they now believed in God. The next morning, the Roman authorities sent police officers with the order, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The officials have sent an order for you and Silas to be released. You may leave and go in peace." But Paul said to the police officers, "We were not found guilty of any crime, yet they whipped us in public, and we are Roman citizens. Then they threw us in prison. And now they want to send us away secretly. Not likely. The Roman officials themselves must come here and let us out.
Paul and Silas's plans were interrupted by disappointment and crisis. But did you notice what they did while they waited for God's rescue and wondered what's next? They worshipped. They found a reason to worship God because they knew God could be trusted. They trusted he was with them and they believed that he would be faithful to them no matter what. And of course they were right. Not only did God show up in the most miraculous way, but the jailer and his entire family came to faith. They worshipped while they waited, and then after they were rescued, they went right back to work. Paul and Silas knew God to be faithful. They knew him to be loyal and constant and steadfast and never failing. But who is God to us? When we feel uncertain, do we trust God is unchanging? When we feel ashamed, do we believe that God is our strength? When we feel afraid, do we hold on to God as our hope? When we feel defeated, do we know that God is our Saviour? It's never easy experiencing disappointment and crises, and it's really hard when things just don't work out the way that we expect them to. But just like Paul and Silas, we can always find a reason to have hope and joy because God is faithful and good. God can be trusted, and the Bible's filled with evidence of this. And I can say this not just because the Bible tells me what God is like, but I've seen so much of God's faithfulness throughout my life, in little things and in the big things too. When I went to Moorlands Bible College many, many, many years ago, I had to give up my company car when I left work. And God reminded me at that time that he was faithful and he would provide. So I waited on him. My parents offered to give me their car, but I just knew in my spirit that that was the wrong car. And as it was quite a nice car, I rather reluctantly said no. College started, and I still didn't have a car. And then in the second week of being there, I met my placement supervisor, and she asked me how I was going to get to the placement church, and I had to say that I didn't know. And then she asked me if I drove. And it turned out that her husband had died a few months earlier, and she was just waiting to find the right person to pass his little red Fiesta on to. It was the oldest car in the college car park. It was so very different to the company car that I'd been used to. But for me, it was the most precious vehicle parked in that car park, because every time I drove it, every time I saw it, it reminded me of God's faithfulness. God is with us all the time. The Holy Spirit is his gift to us, and the Spirit is how God comforts us and speaks to us and encourages us and leads us and helps us to grow. And so I don't know what disappointments or crises you're facing right now, or those that you might face in the coming months or even the coming years. But when you find yourself waiting for God to rescue you, can I encourage you to draw on this story of Paul and Silas? And while you're waiting, remember that God is faithful. He's faithful even when we're not faithful to him. He's faithful even when we lose hope. He's faithful even when we're filled with questions. Even when we get tired of waiting. Even when we get tired of God coming through for us, he is faithful. So while we wait for him to come through with his plans for us, let's be people who trust that he's with us, just like he was with Paul and Silas. Let's be people who pray while we wait. Let's be people who worship, which isn't always easy when we're discouraged. But when we hang on to hope and joy in the midst of darkness through our worship, nearly always we see our faith start to grow. Let's remember God's faithful to us in the past. Write your stories down. Let's remember them and then spend time reading and reflecting on them, because this again helps us find hope when things feel hard. So let's pray. The psalmist writes, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Lord, help us to reflect our worship in the way the psalmist does. Help us to trust you for those things that we're waiting for, the way that Paul and Silas did. Help us to draw close to you in prayer while we wait, rather than pull away. Lord, help us to sing and read your word, even when our disappointment means that we don't want to. Lord, would you remind us of your faithfulness in the past, and might this give us hope for this day and for the days to come. Amen.